Whew. That was one of the best movies I've ever seen. Let me just say,
you couldn't fucking hold back.
If you guys get the chance to see Madam Web, fucking do it.
I just got back from fucking.
You got it.
I just got home from the theaters, and I went to the movie theaters to see.
Yep.
Bob Marley One Love.
They got a British dude playing that fucker.
They say that it's all that comedy is all about timing. But if you have the editing buttons, then timing is as you make it.
That's true. Much like Paul Atreides, Muad'Dib can make the universe in his image.
Okay.
In the new movie, Dune Part 2, now in theaters.
Now in theaters.
My name is Dan.
It isn't. My name is Silas. You're listening to Let's Get Way Into Dune. I think it's safe to say that we've accomplished the goal of the show.
In spades, my friend. We are way into Dune. I am proselytizing Dune to others, inviting them to get way into Dune.
Yep. It's kind of working sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's working.
So we saw it.
Yeah, so we just got home from the fan first IMAX preview, as they're calling it, on the 25th of February, the Sunday before it comes out on a Friday.
Right. You said now in theaters. You're dead fucking wrong.
It's not in theaters anymore. Yeah.
It was in theaters like an hour ago.
Yes.
And it's not in theaters anymore, but it will be in theaters again. What is it? March when?
On Friday. March 1st.
March 1st. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to give you our initial reactions. We both brought notebooks into the theater, by the way.
Little notebooks, yeah.
Because we're dweeb nerds. We're going to give you our spoiler-free reviews first, and then we're going to dive into spoiler territory. Just so if you're just joining us, you can get a little taste of what we're talking about, and then if you've seen the film already, or if you just don't give a hoot or a holler, we'll talk about our spoiler stuff.
If you heard that sound come through on my end, what that was, that sort of that sort of metallic clanking, that was me dropping as I picked up the Dune special edition popcorn bucket.
Oh, how I forgot. I have no object permanence.
It's here. I was just nearly elbow deep in it. If you don't know what this thing is, it's got a it's a metal,
it's a promotional popcorn bucket
for popcorn. It's got some logos on the side and stuff, but notably it has a big silicone worm mouth sticking out of the top that you have to stick your fist right into if you want to get your popcorn out. Very unpleasant to put your hand in and out of this.
And you're thinking to yourself, Silas, what? Do the teeth tickle me as I get my popcorn through? Yes, of course they do.
Well, yeah, and if you are a person who has hair on your arms, they'll also rend it from your flesh. It's so gross. It looks like a big butthole.
We were in line getting popcorn before the movie, and we were like, we're not getting it. Like, whatever. Like, we have to... We're not... Because where are we going to put it? Like, we're not going to fucking get it. And then... So I was like, I might buy it then. And I was like, oh my God. And then we looked at the price, and it was like $25.
It comes with a large popcorn.
Which is already 10, so pretty much 15.
$15.
And then I was like, I'll fucking split it with you. And so now we're the proud owners.
It's a trophy.
Of a Dune 2. Yeah.
It's a trophy. You'll never be able to get this again.
That's true. I should have gotten my own. We should have gotten two. One for us and one for the internet. One for eBay.
The
margins on these are huge. Going to be huge. They're like Beanie Babies. Get them now.
Are they still going to have these when the movie releases officially?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe we should get like a few more.
Yeah.
We'll go a few times, and I guess...
And then we'll wait until they're...
like, you know, 40 years, yeah.
Yeah, 40 years or so for it to pay off, and then we'll make like $50.
This is our retirement.
Kinda, dude. Looks like I would hate to be the kid whose retirement account got drained to make this fucking movie. Jesus Christ. This really? Shit looks expensive.
I feel like that money is coming back to that kid in sevenfold.
You gotta hope. This movie better make some goddamn money so we can see Part Trey. Which, do you think that'll be called Dune Messiah, or do you think that's gonna be called Dune Part 3? What do you think, Silas? Let's knock on some wood real quick. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So, okay. This is the no spoiler section, yes? So no spoilers. No spoilers.
We've seen it.
Reviews.
No spoilers, but I can say that shit rocked my socks off.
It's fucking very good movie. Not a spoiler to say it's a very good movie. Gave it 5 stars. Rushed to Letterboxd to leave a funny joke review. And then I thought of another one, so I did two Letterboxd reviews, both 5 stars.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was insane. That was like, again, there was a lot. I was thinking while I was in it, because it's a big fucking action movie. It's an action movie. Got a lot of action. The first one, notably, pretty devoid of action.
There was a few moments of pretty extreme action, I would say, in the first one.
Yeah, but the first one can be... You can call that movie boring. And you can't really do that with this one. You can call it... there are valid criticisms, I'm sure. But it never, like... There's always something fucking exploding in this one.
That's true. Holy shit, it was so loud.
There were parts where it rumbled our little chairs.
I actually needed that a couple times. We did a little bit of, you and I did a little bit of what you could call internal cosplay for this movie by, it's an almost 3-hour movie and neither one of us wanted to have to pee during it. Right. So neither one of us has really had any water all day. And I did.
Were you feeling that during?
In sort of minute 10, when my dehydration headache kicked in, I did think to myself, like, oh, hey, we're kind of like them.
We're kind of like the modern day Fremen.
I wonder if they all have headaches right now.
Well, no, dude. They can pee. They can drink. I mean, it's reclaimed.
I wonder if Paul has a headache, I guess. I wonder if Paul has a headache, because he's new to all this. He's from Caladan, where they have water flows like wine.
I think he says that. I'm from Caladan, where water flows like wine. And they're all like, what's wine?
we have sand coffee here.
Yeah, it tastes like cinnamon.
Okay,
yeah,
what else?
It was damn good. What can we say?
What can we say that's not spoilerful?
It's long, I think. I wasn't paying attention to if it's long or not, but it's long.
There was a moment where I was like, how far in are we? That happened once. But I also have a disease of the mind that makes it hard to sit still for a long time, so...
Yeah.
You know, that's that grain of salt on that. It was very... Very, the movie never, like, lost me or anything.
Oh, yeah. Timmy Chalamet's doing Muad'Dib stuff.
Chalamet's here. Right.
They got Chalamet back for this one.
No, everybody came back. That was nice.
Yeah. Notable Oscar Isaac, omission.
Yeah, I would say it's not a spoiler to say that he wasn't in it.
Yes, he's not in it. Sorry. Sorry, Oscar Isaac heads.
Nor was our friend Jason Momoa.
No Momoa. Hey, it's fucking Stephen. Henderson.
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Stephen McKinley Henderson not in it at all. We can only suspect he perished in the Battle of Arakeen. All
right, so is that a spoiler then? That's a minor spoiler, I would say. We're probably getting close to the point where it's
we just
want to
talk
spoilers.
Of spoilers. All right, so if you haven't seen it, we're going to do spoilers now. We both have little notebooks that we were writing in sometimes.
And then I wrote some stuff in my phone on the way home. We put an embargo on talking about the movie until basically moment.
It was torture. We kind of looked at each other on the subway just like and started to just like shake and just like wanted to say so much.
Oh man, I'm like, it's like, I want to talk about this movie so bad, and also I'm like delirious from like, like my body's like catching up with the water that I've been drinking since we've been home.
Yes, I am like almost done with my
yeah, like I feel like I'm on fucking
fat hydro flask.
Planet Venus right now.
Woo! Hopefully you're not on Planet Dune.
Oh, can we? All right, are we? Can we?
What are we doing this?
Can we be officially in spoiler territory here?
Officially in spoiler territory.
Just because you
if
said
you listen past this point, you're
that's
you're
on you.
Get spoiled. Yeah, you're gonna get spoiled. Idiot. Listen at your own risk.
All right.
There are many different things that we know about this movie now that we didn't know before, and if you are looking to starve yourself of that until you see it for yourself, frankly, you're going to get spoiled.
Idiot.
I don't know how to make myself more clear than that.
All right, listen. I think
okay, yeah.
I think we should try to go in a relatively linear order here.
Yes, because we thankfully watched the movie in a linear order.
However, mostly. There's the visions and stuff, I guess. But yeah. Listen, however, you mentioned Planet Dune just now, and I just want to say that this movie had the best, like, movie name drop roll credits moment I think I've ever seen.
Dude, that was crazy. That is one of the notes that I wrote down, is he says it. He says Dune.
Okay, only the Baron previously, in part one, the Baron referred to it as my Arrakis, my Dune.
My Dune.
But I think nobody else calls the planet Dune until that moment where...
Yeah.
Where, maybe I'm wrong about that, maybe somebody does, but when Paul says, what does he say? He says, like, back when this planet still had a Fremen name.
Right, an ancient Dune. Fremen name. Dune, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
He's fully Muab'Dib'd by that point.
Yeah,
it's crazy to see this book that I had no interest in before seeing that trailer back in 2020. That trailer kind of inspired us to, you know, get into Dune, if you remember. If longtime friends of the show will know that we had not read it before the first trailer came out in like 2020.
Right. When we started
it's crazy to see that it came to fruition. It's the first full book. It's crazy, and it's like really good, and it's like almost pitch perfect, and there are changes, of course, and we'll get into that, but it's just like, it's crazy to see it like fully realized, even if it's not how we envisioned it when we read it, like it's somebody's realized full vision, and that's really awesome. And I just, that's really awesome, man. That's, how awesome is that?
That is awesome.
Can we get, like, an awesome check on that? Like,
let me check the...
That's awesome, right?
Let me check the...
Do you have the awesome-o-meter over there?
I'm just checking the books.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make some paper noises into the mic.
Yeah. Go ahead and check if that was awesome or not, because by my count, it was.
I'm getting a 98 out of 100 on awesome.
Hey, that ain't bad. I'll go to Vegas with those odds. I'm glad we said spoilers, because that was a huge spoiler that we just said. That it was an awesome movie.
Yeah, right. We should talk about things that are spoilable.
All right, I want to hear your first note.
Well, here's the thing. My first two notes are from before the movie.
Oh, yeah, we were watching the trailers. We got there a little early, because I wasn't sure about the line to get popcorn situation. And movies that I didn't care about before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gotten there, like, right out. I usually try to get to the movie theater exactly when the movie says it's going to begin, because there's usually, like, 20 minutes of fucking trailers. And I don't got time for that.
There was a trailer for a new Planet of the Apes movie. It looks fucking boring. We got to stop making those. We got to stop making... It's crazy that we're still making Planet of the Apes movies.
Especially when we got blockbusters like this. This is a blockbuster, baby.
I wrote down, we got to stop with the ape movies... and then I have a follow-up note that says, that includes Kong, Because there's another fucking Kong and Godzilla movie coming out, too.
Right.
You raised a good point. I know we got to talk about Dune, but you raised a good point about the Planet of the Apes movies, which is like...
Yeah, I leaned over to you.
When did we decide that we were going to give them African accents? Is that...
Are we
like,
good? Have we reckoned cool? with that fully? Like, yeah.
Is that like...
They're vaguely African accents on the apes. It's like... That
doesn't seem maybe, cool.
Yeah, have like a diverse... production staff, and that's not gonna happen.
Right. Okay. Sorry. So you wanna know my first note?
Yeah, what's your first note of the film?
I wrote down zygote.
They get like
internal.
They get downright internal in this film. Some internal life.
The way Alio was handled was very interesting.
I think and let's just, before we get into the note for note, that's such a good point. We need to just fully do Alia right now, I think.
I think let's just hash it out. So, one of the first things that we see, what is the very first shot? Because it's not that. That's like the second thing that happens.
They have the, blah, 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 and then they have the logos, and then, oh, it's Irulan. It opens with Irulan.
Right.
Which makes sense. I thought it was going to be the arena, but like, doesn't make any fucking sense. Of course they're going to introduce that shit first, because they have to have the weight of the Emperor established early, because he wasn't in the first one. That makes so much sense. It opens with Irulan. One of the next thing he said, we'll get back to that, but that Christopher Walken is one funny MF-er.
What a card he is.
Yeah, a real card, a pistol. Yeah, And he like sits weird. Yeah. Okay. All right. Back. One of the second things that you see is inside of Jessica's womb. We see a fetus of Alia, and we see that fetus become a zygote. I don't even know what stage is what
order.
Thrown around embryos. Thrown around zygote. We see that baby grow over the course of the film, and we kind of speculated. We kind of heard that perhaps the baby fetus advises Jessica from the womb.
Right.
That is what happens.
I would say that's exactly what happens.
Yes. But, you know, we talked about Anya Taylor-Joy showing up at the premiere and almost confirming that she is Alia. She is in the movie for one brief moment.
Yeah, in a Walken vision
having
of
these
Paul's.
Visions that he's
right.
following a woman. There's a bunch of corpses around him, and at one point he thinks it's Jessica, but then there's a part where we see a pretty cool scene of dunes on one side, waves of water on the other, and she talks to him and says, "Hey, man, you're not gonna like the. You're not gonna. I think she says like, you're not gonna like. I've seen your." Where our line leads and you're not going to like it or something like that. Anya Taylor-Joy.
She was there. That's about all I have to say about that.
She shows up for 15 seconds we see her.
Yeah. It was a little... there's so many branches of discussion that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
it was a little like, okay. All right. Yeah, we can't do the talking, baby.
When you think about it, there is a talking baby.
Right.
It's just an inside baby.
They have babies inside. Yeah. It changes some stuff with, you know, Alia has some pretty serious stuff to do in the book. Even though she's like extremely minor character in the book, she does kill the Stinky Baron.
Right. So, we got to try to go in order. So we'll talk about Listen, we should assume that our listeners have seen the fucking movie.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about.
Because if you haven't, it's not our fucking job to explain the plot to you.
Well, our job is to get you way into Dune, and we can only take you so far. We can't make you drink the water. We can just take you there.
Right.
Usul.
Right. You horse.
My first note is...
yeah.
Harkonnen Future Tech can tell where you died. They at some point, it reminded me of, like, the game makers from the Hunger Games, and, like, it's, like, every, you know, it's Denis' version of it, but it is, like, every sci-fi has, like, future screenless screens with little flashy things. Yeah. The Harkonnens We see more of the inner workings of the Harkonnens this time.
It did strike me a little bit. That scene struck me a little bit as like, hey, isn't that computers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking like, getting a little close to computers here, don't we think?
I don't know how that works, if not computers.
I thought we weren't supposed to have those.
Yeah, that's an extremely good point that I did not pick up on. Yeah, so there's an action scene with those Harkonnens. Really orange scene. Pretty orange scene.
Oh, man. That fucking scene is so cool!
Yeah, dude. They start falling off the cliff.
That whole thing, and, like, the watching them, like, go up the...
Oh, yeah, that side, like, side profile shot of the side of the mountain, they're all floating in a line.
It made me think about, in the first one, when the Sardaukar silently float down...
Yes.
Onto Arakeen, and just, like, how, like, I love the, like, silent floating
it's
thing.
It's eerie, yeah.
It's so, like, it feels like ballet.
Delicate. Beautiful.
It's, yeah. And something about, like, watching them up on top of that big, like, triangular cliff thing, like, looking over the vast desert was, like, just, like, I don't know, kind of captured the scale of Dune better for me in the first, like, 10 minutes than the first one did at all.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome.
It is a big... Big-ass movie. Big. My next note is Siege Tabra. We see the inside of Siege Tabra. Tabir, as we called it for a really long time.
We called it Tabir, yeah. So Tabra. I mean, we called him Denis Villeneuve, so...
We have a lot to be...
Fucking idiots.
Embarrassed about, yeah.
I still think Harkonnen is probably better, but whatever.
Yeah.
We lost on that one.
We were worried for a minute, because I think Frank Herbert thinks it should be Chaney. That's insane.
No, that dream died with Dick. That's what I say.
Whoa.
There's no way we were going to call her Chaney on the big screen after old tricky Dick Veep fucking warmonger Chaney.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to call her Chaney after the man who invaded Iraq.
Yeah, like, this movie is kind of like that.
Defying the point of it.
Sorry, Frank, but you couldn't have seen that with all your prescience.
Yeah, the Palestine was already being occupied when he wrote the fucking book.
Hey, let's move on.
Speaking of which, I just think that, oh, man. The coming weeks are going to be filled with people saying, hey, is this political?
Yeah.
There are some moments that were so striking about, like, just, like, man, this, like, if people didn't know that this was a, like, 50-year-old book, or over 50-year-old book, and that this movie had already been, like, written and made, like, a year ago... They would think that this was too on the nose at times.
Yeah. It really does tackle religion and faith and belief in a way that I didn't think I would see. I don't know. For whatever reason, I got so caught up in, like, the plot of it, right? Like, thinking about, like, how are they gonna do that? How are they gonna do that? That never really occurred to me. Like, oh, yeah, of course. You need that. You need the faith, Oh man, it was so good. I really did like the fundamentalists. There's a whole bit that we're laughing about, like, oh yeah, he's from the South. You didn't see his accent?
Oh, that was so great. So right. There's a big theme, especially in the earlier part of the movie, right, is the, like, division that Paul causes between the Fremen who believe in the Lisan al-Ghaib and the ones who don't. And Chani is one who doesn't, and Stilgar is one who fucking really does.
Really does. Javier Bardem is a goddamn savant in this movie.
Perfect. Perfect casting, perfect acting. I think that he is the most perfectly cast person in the movie.
Honestly.
And also, yeah, so the whole thing with the, like, Fremen from the South was, like, not really, like, I was never, one gripe I had reading the book is, like, I never felt like I understood where things were in the world.
Right, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they talk about different locations and stuff, but I just couldn't really keep track of it.
They really simplify it in this one.
Yeah, but that's fine, because it worked for me. Yeah, I loved the little joke about, because we've talked about, like, why the fuck do they all have different accents? And they literally, like, cleared that up, saying Stilgar's from the South. What's the line that Chani has? There's, like, a line, a pretty stark, like, commentary on religion line. Oh, what is it? Something about, it's a good way to get people to wait for thousands of years is to tell them they're waiting on their savior.
Oh, on a messiah, yeah.
You know, using that religion is a tool for controlling people. And that,
yes,
you know, this, you know, quote-unquote prophecy that is not a prophecy, even though it does come true, but it exists to use to subjugate people, and it works, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's the only reason it can come true is because people believe it.
Yes, and I like that, like, Paul doesn't, I shouldn't say he doesn't believe it, but he doesn't want it for a lot of the movie, and then there's a pretty stark, like, oh, I think even when he drinks the water of life, it's like, oh,
this is the only way. Time.
Yeah. I really thought for a goddamn second he was going to say Golden Path.
It seemed like it. It seemed like he was going to say it.
He was like, there's a million. He did, like, the Doctor Strange thing where he's like, a million times where our enemies prevail, but I do see a path. A narrow path.
He says a narrow way through, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, a golden path. But no, they weren't going to do that. That's,
no.
It's too much. It's too much. They knew, they knew, there's a lot of this movie that is a lot, that is too much, that is, like, a lot. But they knew, if I was in the Writers of America, I wouldn't have been able to help myself. So, thank God.
You can't say golden path and not, then, like, that's like a promise of a Children of Dune movie, and I'm not even convinced that I want that.
Right. And that's like it, George Lucas would do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What a that fucking hack.
When Zendaya's friend, my next note just says, drink worm piss.
Okay.
Because if you insist. That's what Zendaya's, Chani's friend says.
Did she?
You were writing a note when she said it.
Oh, she says it in Fremen?
Yes. What are they gonna do to them or whatever? Right? What are they gonna do to that lady? Drink worm piss.
I see.
Which we see happen.
That's sort of what happens. Speaking of the Fremen, did not spot our.
Yeah, I was
Fremen
looking.
The Fremen we know.
For Rand the whole time. Yeah, I'm sure at some point, when it's on video on demand, Rand will point out who she is to us.
Right.
But I have not spoken to Rand in a while, so I can't... I did not even get her, like, oh, we were outside, or we were in... Like, I really don't know.
Right, we didn't even know what we were looking for.
Yeah. That's awesome. One time, me and Rand played... we're in a play where we were brother and sister, and I... there was, like, some incest stuff. It was awesome.
Don't look anything alike.
No, not at all, but whatever. When I first met her, my next note says, I don't, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I caught this or I shouldn't have. It's inside the tent right before he gets named Usul and Muad'Dib. Right when they're, like, joking around after, like, they take down the Harkonnen the Thopter and the big spice guy.
The spice harvester.
They're in the thing right before they name him Muad'Dib and Usul or whatever. They are, like, jokingly calling him Muad'Dib first. That does not happen in the book, right?
No, it doesn't. But also, I think that naming thing happens way earlier in the book. So the Chani's friend, who we don't know the name of, is making a little joke where she's like, ooh, Muad'Dib likes you. And she's doing a little, she's pretending to, making a little mouse with her hand and having it hop on him.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what you're thinking of.
He's just like, what was that thing called? Yeah, that.
I like him. He's cute.
Yeah. Harkonnen's... Here's another thing. Harkonnen's, I did like, yeah, like there's a part where right before that battle takes place, little Muad'Dib shows up next to his like breathing straw and he's like, get out of here, little man. Get out of here, little scamp.
Right.
The Harkonnens keep calling them rats, which is funny because he's a mouse.
Right. Hey, hey, yeah. Hey. Sorry. Yep. Stop everything.
Yep.
Where the fuck was Buster Scruggs?
Hey, I leaned over to you during the, once we were in the arena and like everyone that was going to be in that scene had been shown. Where the fuck is Buster Scruggs?
Where is he? I'm gonna Google it.
I'm gonna go on Reddit. Yeah.
Before. Like, was he cut? Okay. On IMDb, he is listed under rest of cast listed alphabetically, and he has no name still. Stephen McKinley Henderson is also listed in this section, so it's possible that this is just like not correct. I didn't see him. Who? There was that guy who
is next to the Baron.
Who the Baron was looking at. But that wasn't him, I'm pretty sure.
No. They're both given... Thufir and Tim Blake Nelson are both given special thanks in the end credits alongside Frank Herbert.
What?
Shame we didn't see Tim or Thufir. I'd kill for an extended cut, but Denny said a few times that he's not into that.
So, I guess he was not... He was cut from the movie.
His part seems to have been cut. I just got out of the fan screening. He wasn't in it. He isn't even listed in the credits.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what I'm seeing, yeah, they cut both of Tim Blake Nelson and Stephen McKinley Henderson from Dune Part 2, which is why they're not listed in the credits, but instead under special thanks in the credits.
Weird.
I would have bet anything that they are in the same scene. Probably he's given the poison to...
So, right. So then Tim Blake Nelson is probably like a weird torturer or something then.
Yeah. Oh,
not man. Fenring.
No Count Fenring at all. But we do see Lea Sordo
Lady Fenring is there.
There is some funny weird stuff about that.
Well, correct. Because like, she fucked Fade, of course.
Bro, put your hand in the GD box. Yeah, the box comes back. That was awesome. That was a good way to... show to the audience that Fade is truly on Paul's level, almost.
That he's, like, consequential? Yeah.
I really like how they handled Fade, because I was worried that, like, you know, in the Lynch movie, and a little bit in the book, too, he's like, okay, why do I care about this guy? But they really do a good job of showing him, not a ton, but just, like, enough where I'm like, this guy, I don't know.
He's
doing a Baron Harkonnen impression. It's
it's incredible. He sounds exactly like him.
Yeah, there is like one fleeting moment where you're like a little bit of Elvis, a dash.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear a pinch
of Elvis, just like in like his like.
Well, are you talking about at the end of the arena scene after he kills the last guy and everybody's cheering for him and he goes, "Oh, thank you very much."
Yeah, that took me way out. No, it's in the hallway with Lady Fenring. He like there's a moment where he's just like maybe just like an or an like he just like a tiny little Elvis, but that's just his speaking voice now. So I think that's just what that is. But he was great. I really liked Fade.
He was awesome.
Fade.
I did too. There are a couple of little details that I really liked.
Go for it.
When the Bene Gesserit are having their little breakdown about him, talking about how it went, and Lady Fenring is like, yeah, he fucked me. She also mentioned that he loves pain. He loves having pain inflicted on him. Mm-hmm. So, like, it can only assume that he was about ready to fucking bust by the time he took his hand out of the box. She just had to make sure she collected that up.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing I really liked was, first of all, the arena scene was fucking cool.
Awesome, yeah.
It had a lot of good Denis visual stuff in it. The black and white, super weird, mm-hmm. like, with a white point set super high, like, very strange looking.
There's, like, a ceiling that's like there's like blips and blops on top. It's like
oh sorry,
it's like raining huge drops on top of the arena.
If we're talking about our notes, I did write down goo fireworks.
Yeah, the fireworks are goo on Getty Prime.
Yeah, it's gross. It's very gross.
A lot of Giger stuff in the Giddy Prime, and especially in the little, like, the guy, when they're, that scene where they're, like, using the rocket launcher to blow up shit, those little landers look a lot like Giger.
Yes. Let me finish talking about the arena scene, and then I do want to talk about all of the, like, homage that's made to other Dune-related stuff.
Yes.
Because
the arena scene was fucking lit.
The arena scene and Giddy Prime has a lot of good, like, Denis design kind of stuff that is, like, unique to him and that nobody's done before. Like the servants in the arena with the, like, hammerhead court jesters.
Yeah, what the hell?
Were awesome.
And they tried to, like, the last Atreides guy that they tried to, like, help, and he was like, no! Like, yelled at him.
Yes. Yes. And then the thing that I really loved was when he did kill that last Atreides guy, and Fate is, like, drooling as he kills him.
Yes.
He's, like, so into it that he's, like, there's, like, water just, like, falling out of his mouth. It's so gross.
That whole scene is awesome. Like, there's a scene where he's walking down the hallway and, like, one half of his face is illuminated in color, and then every time a firework goes off, his other half of his face is illuminated in black and white.
It's, oh, like, wow, insane. I did not notice that.
It's insane, right? Right before Léa Sardo shows up.
Yeah, well, I know what part you're talking about. I just didn't notice that effect. But that's very cool.
That was nuts.
There is so much homage, I feel, paid to... There's a lot of, like, respect paid to Jodorowsky, I think, in this. Because the two things I noticed are, of course, Giger being involved in the design philosophy, which down to, by the way, like, there were times it was so Giger that there were times where I was like, man, this, like, looks like Prometheus, which is, of course, also extremely Giger influenced, that, you know, it's prequel to Alien. And, like, the baby worm was very, like...
I can't believe we saw that.
I loved the baby worm scene. And, like, that was very, like... a lot of people don't like Prometheus, and I get why. But I think that it does the visual aspect of Alien, like, really, really well. And there were a lot of things that really reminded me of that in this movie. And... It also just, like, occurred to me at some point that, like, the casting is very opulent. You know what I mean? Like, Christopher Walken doesn't do that much. It didn't have to be Christopher Walken, you know? But they took all these big swings on names, I guess in part to attract people I don't know. It just reminded me of Jodorowsky's, like, ridiculous casting, where he wanted, like, Salvador Dali to play the Emperor and stuff.
Right.
Just to go so big on... Well, it's like, you know,
he had Mick Jagger for Fade, too.
Right, yes, he did. But, remember, what was it? In the first part, they have, like, Benjamin Clementine play the herald of the herald of the change.
Oh yeah, like some, like, weird,
just like he just, like, comes down to tell
musician, right?
Yeah, but, like, are very, like, still, like, relatively well known. I mean, he was on the first single for Gorilla's, like, return album in 2017 or whatever that was. So
shows up.
Yeah, just like a you know, for such a small part, it didn't need to be kind of thing. Mm. So I like that, though. I like that, like, because Christopher Walken is, like, an extremely good actor. And I think he played the, like, kind of uselessness of the Emperor very well. But it's also, like, you fucking really know you're looking at Christopher Walken the whole time. Like, it's just funny that he's
old,
even
dude.
There.
He is old.
He's old, yeah. But, like, I don't know. That added to it for me somehow. Just, like, I don't know. I thought it was very cool.
It's like, the Emperor goes to Arrakis and the Emperor shows up and it's like, damn, that's a huge deal. And you see Christopher Walken, it's like, that's a huge deal, right? Like, it sort of makes you feel like, oh my God. Like, I feel reverence for this character just because of the actor playing him, is like such a crazy get. Yeah, every line he said, I laughed a little bit because it's awesome and fun.
Yeah, but not like distracting. Ultimately,
no. It wasn't like, oh my god, fucking Christopher Walken trying to be serious. It was just like, hell yeah.
Speaking of laughing, we were talking about the religious fervor stuff earlier, which is of course like so central to Dune and so importantly central to the movie, which is good that isn't cheaped out on. But one thing that I think is interesting is like how Stilgar starts to become a very funny character once he buys into this, like, he's really played for laughs.
Really played for laughs at first. That's, I think, is a nice little trick to play on the audience, is to play that religious fervor for laughs early, and then it sort of becomes horrifying later on.
Yeah, and also, like, it turns a very serious character into, like, a total clown. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Stilgar, who's this, like, you know, like, leader, like, steward of the old ways, like, he's the one who, you know, he's in the first, with the fight with Jamis, who's telling, like, he has to kill him, it's the way that we do this. And then, like, for him to be, like, sort of reduced to the, like, the guy who's like, oh, it is written! Here he is! It's our guy! And it's like, it's not a throwing away of the character, you know what I mean? Like, it's what happens
to
the character.
You, yeah.
And it looks ridiculous because it is. You know what I mean? Like, he just, there's like, buys into this. Yeah.
There's a shot at the very, very end of the movie. It was right after Jessica says a crazy line, which is just, like, the holy war has begun, which is insane. It's, like, all the legions of Fremen, you know, marching their way. Stilgar's like, come on, or whatever. You see Stilgar, and I was just thinking, like, you know, we know what's going to happen. There are going to be billions of dead people because of this. We see Stilgar so... And then I just thought of, like... I zoomed out. I went to, like, the opening scene of Children of Dune, where he's just, like... It's a quiet moment with the twins in their cradles. And he's just like, damn, all this. And I could just fucking strangle these kids and kill them right now.
Oh, yeah,
I just thought
about
that. And I was like, damn, the arc of Stilgar. Crazy.
He has no idea what he's about to go through.
No. Yeah. My next note says Baron has a ball.
What do you mean by that? Oh, his floaty ball.
Has a floaty ball that he didn't have before. Maybe it's for medical help after he got poisoned by Leto.
I just thought it was part of his floating thing, but maybe you're right. Maybe it is medical. I almost feel
like breathing. I don't know. It's like. Reminds me of the guy from the opening of Empire Strikes Back.
I have a lot to say about the Baron. I have a lot to say about Jessica. Mm-hmm. I'm almost thinking, maybe we should kind of, at this point, I know we are 50 minutes into recording, probably less when you're hearing this.
Hopefully.
Maybe we should just kind of go through character by character and just talk about them. Because we talked about Stilgar at length.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about
I'm talking about Fade as well.
We talked about Fade. I just don't want to miss anybody. So do you want to do...
Sure.
You want to do the Baron? You want to talk about the Baron?
Well, let's talk about the stinky evil Baron. I mean, he is one of my favorite characters. And I think in the original part one, we talked about maybe, you know, his... How smart he is not as pronounced or shown. Not that it super is in this one, but we see more of him... Outside, we see him, like, I think the first time we see him is, like, right after he, like, killed some kids. Like, there's, like, screaming from outside.
Oh, yeah.
The doors, and then they open the doors, and he's going back into his little bath. And there's just some dead kids in the corner. We see him in, like, he's a big guy with his tits out, and he's vaping. talk to me, grandson. Yeah, the Baron is in this movie. He gets, let's just say it, he doesn't, Alia in the book kills this Baron, but instead of having a 2 to 4 year old that talks like a million year old evil space witch kill him, they just have Timothée Chalamet kill him. I honestly thought they were going to kill him earlier. Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. I honestly thought that they were going to kill him earlier when the Sardaukar, like, cut his little balloon and he falls down.
Right. Well, they made him, they removed any usefulness for it, because they also destroyed his, like, levitators on his back.
Yes.
So, and he's too, he literally can't, he's too heavy to walk around on his own. So he just has to lay there.
There's a cool little tiny shot of him just, like, he looks up at the Emperor's chair, and he's just, like, kind of, like,
so
kind of small little crawl, and he's just, like, you see the desperation and just, like, hunger for power and control, and
right.
It's a tiny little shot, but it's kind of like, he doesn't have, not that he even moves far at all, because he can't get very far, but he's just, like, you see him, like, look at it still, even though he knows he's defeated.
Which, by the way, that happens, he does, and that was also a little bit funny when it happened, because that, yeah. He does that when everybody else is looking at the fact that, like, Paul has just walked into the room and killed a whole bunch of Sardaukar easily. Like, and he is so fixated on the throne that is ultimately meaningless on its own. It's just a chair.
Right.
I leaned over to Dan and I whispered, "Double King," which if... Right. Just give that a quick YouTube search.
It's a very, very funny animation about a little king guy who really wants to be king. Twice.
Yeah, and you won't regret giving that a Google for yourself.
It's a cute little 12 minutes. It's nice. Oh, should we just quickly discuss the nuclear warheads that are shown in this film?
Right, the family atomics.
Yeah, what the hell?
The atomics exist. They definitely don't nuke anybody.
Yes, it is said, I think, you know, when he makes that, like, "I will blow up the spice fields, and your Chome is dead." By the way, no Chome, thank Christ. We don't have time to get into all of that, Deneen. You're very smart. You smart little Frenchman. And I mean Canadian.
Some Canadians are Frenchmen.
Oh, he's, yeah.
Don't let the French hear you say that. They might have thoughts.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I don't know if that's, like, contentious.
All right. All that to say, there is a scene where they just walk into the nuclear arsenal and they're like, "Look, I remember where they were. I'm Gurney Halleck, and I remember that the nuclear warheads are over here. Put your hand in so you can get in there."
And by the way, they are like 21st century ass fucking missiles. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? These are bombs as you know them. It's not future shit. These are just straight up, these are nukes.
Yeah. So which is a nice way to it wasn't like distractingly like, "What are we doing here?" But it was like, okay, this is out of the way of the story of the book, but it's a nice way to like be like, yeah, we can. It makes that more real, because in the book Paul just kind of says that and like he explains it to be true to us, but it's a way to show the audience, you know, we're not in his head all the time, so we can just be like, oh yeah, okay, he can just end all the spice production.
Well, right, Gurney says something about like, and again, this book and movie is very fucking political. Like, you know, Gurney says, like, they ask how much, and he says, "Enough to blow up the world." And he's like, "Yeah, you know what I mean.
It's a figure of speech." Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he says that. When it's like, man, my fucking high school government and economics teacher talked about this a lot. He loved talking about, this is like 10 years ago, so I don't know if I remember exactly what he said, but he loved talking about the number of times that are like America and like the world's nuclear arsenal could incinerate the entire planet.
And how many times it's almost happened by accident too.
Oh no, I mean like if you launched all the nukes in the world, you could incinerate the planet 11 times over or whatever.
Oh jeez. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
So just like
Gurney.
I don't know. Yeah.
Gurney gets to kill the Beast Ribbon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of done kind of quick, but it was nice. We don't get to see how Raban dies in the book. But it's nice to have that Gurney battle.
I thought that did happen in the book. Or is it kind of off-screen in the book? No, it does happen, doesn't it?
It's like mentioned, but it doesn't happen on screen in the book.
Oh, okay.
And by on screen, I mean on page.
In the screen of the book.
In the screen of your mind, which you get from reading the pages.
Well, if you're using a Kindle.
Right. Or a Nook.
Right. Or a Books Palma, which is, I think, a new one.
Okay. Let's talk about Jessica now.
Yeah. Oh, man. If I, all the fucking haters, all the haters who are like, "I don't like this Jessica. I don't like fucking Rebecca Ferguson as Jessica. I don't like the direction they took this character. I hope that they are eating their fucking words now, because she was so fucking creepy and weird.
Yeah.
And it was
perfect. She really shows up as a space witch in this Judy movie.
She's scary as hell in this one, which is awesome. Her whole, like, thing about, like, we're going to convert them all, and we'll start with the weak ones, is like... And, like, she's, like, muttering to... Yeah. Looks like herself.
Was that Anya Taylor-Joy, the baby, saying that to her, though? Or was that her thinking it?
I think, well, it's the two of them working together. Right, They're sort of the same person, ultimately, because they're both...
They have all the memories, yeah.
Right. So, yeah. I thought she was so good.
Water of Life scene happens pretty early in the damn movie. It's like 15 minutes in. She's writhing on the floor.
Would have kind of had to. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if they're not, especially if they're not doing the time skip at all.
Yeah.
You got to just do that. I thought it was interesting that a big departure from the book was in the book, Paul decides for himself that he has to take the Water of Life, and everybody else is like, no, don't fucking do that. You're going to die, including Jessica. And he, like, sneaks off and does it secretly. And then he's in a coma for, like, a few weeks.
Yeah.
But in this one, Jessica is, like, the one who's urging him to do it.
One step more. That was a moment where I was like, okay, that's for everybody else. That doesn't have in the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only one more step. And then you'll see it all. Should we just talk about Chani? I think that's actually where most of the difference from the book happens. There are some pretty huge differences. A long, long ago, Denis was quoted as saying that Zendaya actually plays the main character of Dune Part 2. A lot of people got mad because they're going to make Dune woke or whatever. Stupid shit that people believe.
Right.
Or maybe they don't. They just want to be mad or whatever. Obviously, Timothée Chalamet is still the main character of this film. But the movie... fucking ends. It really ends on you.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there being like, no, don't end more of it. It really ends, and I think the way they handled Chani was really smart to show to people, and it's still done subtly, but to show it to some, you know, people that maybe would have not got it if it was done, if Chani just went along with it like she does in the book. It showed that, like, contrast, that difference in belief from everyone else and Paul versus her, shows to the audience, thematically, structurally, that this guy maybe isn't a good guy, right? Like, at the end of the book, the book, some people are still like, fuck yeah, this guy's awesome. This movie allows you to look at him as not a good guy by the end of it.
Not to distract from talking about Chani, but he kind of loses himself in it more obviously.
Yes, yes.
It's not even just like in the book. I feel that there was a little bit more of like, oh, you know, it's inevitable.
It's gonna happen anyway. Yeah.
I can't stop it at this point, so it's just gonna have to happen.
Whereas, just make it happen as nice as possible.
Whereas in this, another difference plot-wise is he doesn't realize that they are descended from the Baron until he has the Water of Life.
Oh, they really did that more. They did. I was so sure. You were like, they're gonna do like a Star Wars reveal.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're not going to fucking do... Bro, they totally do.
They absolutely do.
They absolutely do a Star Wars reveal.
Well, and it's important that as soon as he realizes that, that's when he says something like, fine, we need to defeat the Harkonnens. We're going to do it by being Harkonnens. Yeah. And that's where the flip happens. Of course, it's also because of the Water of Life. But, like, that's the moment where he kind of stops caring and loves the bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I was surprised how they handled that.
He really, like, met cruelty with cruelty and, like, went all fucking out on, we're gonna kill these guys and we're going to do, and then, you know, as soon as the great houses decline to recognize him as emperor, he's like, fuck it, we ball.
For real.
We're going to kill them too.
Yeah. The great houses that were are here too, just off screen.
Yeah, I did think about how we're not going to figure out what they look like. What colors each of them wear.
I wish to God we could have seen that. But I know why.
It would have been hacky. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Chani. So yeah, she is not enthused. I was waiting for the moment where like she's finally caught under the spell too, but no, the movie ends with her walking out.
Right.
And getting on a worm. Here is my theory about what is happening, because there was not the, you know, I was sure that at some point, and Paul, you know, Timothy Chalamet was going to extend his hand to Irulan, and she was going to say something, and he's going to be like, you know, that line from, I think, Messiah, where it's like, I think we all know who my real wife is, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was sure that was going to happen, because there was a whole moment where like he says, like, I want this bitch for my wife, and Zendaya is like, oh, I have a reaction shot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, like, what's gonna happen? What's gonna this kind of breaks the? I think she's already pregnant with the kids.
Oh, okay.
There is a sex scene.
Right. They do pork.
Well, that wouldn't make any sense at all, actually.
That's tricky because yeah, they would be born way too soon unless the timeline is all getting shifted. You know what I mean? Which is possible.
Well, yeah. No, it doesn't work at all, actually.
Okay.
It doesn't work at all, actually. I thought I was so smart for thinking about that, but no. There's no way that the twins are inside Zendaya right now as she rides away on that worm, because that doesn't make any goddamn sense. Because they can't be born right as the crusade begins.
Well, maybe she's pregnant.
I don't know how that's gonna happen.
Maybe she's pregnant with the Leto who's gonna die.
Could be.
That's possible.
There is a sex scene in the... Not a sex scene, but there's a post-sex scene in the movie,
an immediately post-sex scene, I would say. They're, like, panting.
Which caused me to think, does sex not expel water wastefully? What are we doing here, guys?
Were they in a... Maybe they were in a tent.
Yeah, they put a mat... catching mat down.
Yeah.
Putting a mat down always works.
It's not a bad idea to put a towel down, depending on what you're doing.
Right.
And so, shout out to the members of our family who listen to this podcast. Let me just say that.
What's up?
Yeah, I don't know.
So the big difference in Chani, she never fully gets on board with Paul. And I think that's a really smart way of showing, first of all, giving her some fucking agency. Because in the book,
she's more so much more of a character here.
Yes, they give her some agency. I can only imagine how woke this is, I guess, to some fucking people that
are
going to be mad for no reason. But
not our problem at all.
Yeah, I just think it's a really smart way of showing that he's gone too far and he's not to be looked up to. I think it was just a smart way to show that. She's the person that loves him most.
She does really hold down that angle of like, this is, you know, you have to be skeptical of anyone in power kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, she talks about, like, I was kind of, I felt weird for a while earlier on about, like, man, it really doesn't feel like she's fully, like, in love with him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, eh. She's, like, very, still has a lot of trepidation around him. Like, when is she gonna, like, really, like, be all in.
Give it all
in. It never really happened. And I think that, you know, like, she talks about, like, you are an off-worlder. You are not from here. And,
still,
and she says, like, and then she says something about, like, maybe I could teach you to be Fremen. Obviously, that's not how it goes. He wants that for a long time until he realizes that he's not going to get where he needs to be in his mind by, you know, well, the emperor says it best. His father, he killed his, you know why I killed your father? Because he led from the heart.
Your father was a weak man.
That's the thing. Paul is not his father. And the similarities in leadership, at least, end pretty early on in Paul's reign.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to how... Cut me saying that. I didn't know what I was talking about.
Curious as to how?
Yeah, I started a sentence and then I forgot where I was going. So cut a couple of this,
fucking pass me the rock, because I got a rest to that sentence. I'm curious as to how we fucking go on from here. Does Chani play a completely different role in Messiah, assuming it gets made? You know what I mean? Is she part of the conspiracy to overthrow him? I don't know.
How does he... I mean, it could say a lot to jump 12 years and she's by his side, you know?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, there is something...
She fell under the spell. Or maybe he's trying to save people from the inside or whatever.
But that's also something... That's a theme in Dune. You know, this is like the... You know, it's not...
Plans within plans.
It's... Well, yes. But also just like... Sometimes the just like hopelessness of like, this is what is gonna happen. And it's not always satisfying. In fact, it's very unsatisfying, I think, a lot of the times when it's like, hey, 4,000 years of peace. It's going to be really boring, and I'm going to be a worm. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Which is weird that
it's
that
better
is
than
like,
the alternative.
That an unsatisfying inevitability is like a common theme in Dune, and yet it's still a very compelling series of books to read.
Right.
That is, I know, like, we're not talking about the books right now, but like, that is such a crazy thing that Frank Herbert relies 0% on surprises, that he can tell you what's going to happen very early on in a book,
yeah,
and then it does happen and it's still exciting.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Good job, dude.
What other major characters? I mean, we've hit the major characters, I think. There are, like, secondary ones like Gurney and Raban.
Yeah, Gurney, Raban.
I had a thought about Raban, which is that I enjoy that he's not smart, right? But he's not, like, that's not, like... His, like, stupidity is not, like, played up at all. He's not, like, a dumb character.
Oh, okay, boss. Yeah, he's
yeah,
not
which
like
is,
that.
But that's how he's been adapted before, is like a drooling, and not in a Fade Rotha way, but like kind of dunce. And I appreciate that he's, like, he's not a good leader. You know what I mean? He's not, like, a tactician. He's just this fucking brute. And so, like, when things are not going his way, he just screams and fucking crushes this guy's head on the fucking computer screen. Like, awesome. I think that it's such a good and, like, a more, like, I don't know. Raban is not a character with a ton of nuance, but you know, Denis does not throw that away. He still gives the character his due, which I think is cool.
Yeah, how'd you feel about the final knife fight?
Oh,
with Paul and Fade. Yeah.
Paul and Fade, as somebody on Letterboxd called it, a mew off.
And they were, yeah, truly a mew off.
It was cool. It was good. I think most of it was just a knife fight. Like, it was very well choreographed, obviously, but it's like, it's hard to elevate two people trying to stab each other, like, past a certain point.
Yeah. I was surprised how far they fell into, like, the, oh, our hero has been stabbed.
Yeah, that's true. They did the thing, the, like, oh, the guy we want to win the fight is on the back foot right now. How's he going to pull it off?
To a point where it's like, oh, he's so on the back foot that he might lose? Like, he's, like, dead. Like, he's got, like, a knife in him, right?
Yes. Well, he ended up getting two knives in him, of course, but, because the thing with him grabbing the knife and it slowly sliding through his hand is like was so gross and visceral.
Yeah,
there
were like ooze in the theater.
Yeah, but he, you know, slowed down Fade's other blade long enough to pull the first one out of himself, and you know it's a little callback to the you would have joined me in death from Gurney.
Yeah,
which is, and you know, then he manages to redirect the knife going into him, into just his shoulder. Well, so he can fatally stab Fade. I don't know. I thought that, the end of it was cool. But for the most part, like, you know, it's kind of what I expected. I knew, you know, it's like kind of hot now to like cut the music on a really like physical, impactful fight like that. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I still like it as a choice, but it's not exactly unexpected anymore.
Sure.
So, you know, cool knife fight. Not that, not like mind blowing or anything, but it does, it didn't need to be.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know what's going to happen. It did, it actually really did for a second, though, look like he was going to die.
It got me for at least a second, which is more than I think I expected from, like, that trope being played.
It was long enough for me to think, like, for and spend enough time lingering on Chani in the background while it happened that I was starting to think, like, there's no way they kill Paul and, like, replace him with Chani somehow. Or, like, right. Alia or something. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not what happened, of course.
Here's a note that I wrote.
Uh-huh.
This is not related to what you're talking about at all.
That's okay.
This note says, Silas locked in when Raban died. And when Raban died, it was like right after Raban died, you sat forward in your seat. Like, just like, you just locked in. You're just like, fuck, I'm here.
I just needed a new sitting position. I'd been sitting in the same, like, general position for, like, 2.5 hours at that point, and I was getting really sick of it. I got the back of my seat kicked really hard twice.
Yeah.
Did you notice? You felt that?
Yeah, well, I saw it, and then I was like, bro, what? Like that wasn't even, like, a... that wasn't even, like, a, oh, that was probably an accident. I mean, it was an accident, probably, but, like...
Probably, but it was, like...
I was just like, wow, damn, like, bro. That was kind of... Ow.
Kicked my seat hard.
Yeah.
And, like, I never looked back to see who fucking right. did that. I don't think there were any... I didn't see any kids there. Whatever.
Christopher Walken, can we just, like, fully dive into him?
Sure, yeah.
He sits
talked
weird.
About
he sits weird. He stands weird.
Yeah, he's very strange. And he looks, like... He looks, he looks a little lost, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
But I think which
the bureaucraticness of him.
Well, yeah. And he just looks like he's just like a tottering old man. Like he looks like he doesn't fully really know where he is, what's going on. Like he's a little disoriented. Like, you know, his daughter is kind of the one really running things. And mm-hmm. like she's giving him all the she's advising him. Her and the Reverend Mother are like the ones really kind of controlling things.
We see a little bit of the Carino planet. There's a scene where Helen and Irulan talk. We haven't really talked about Irulan. I did like that scene
true.
Where Irulan and Helen talk to each other and they're like, we have other prospects. Like that we've been doing this for a long ass time.
Oh, what was the
she said I know what you're talking about the line you laughed at?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it came true and it's like, of course it came true. I said it would. Or something like that.
No. It was something like the line was like Irulan was like, did you advise him to exterminate the Fremen or like or no, it was did you advise him to exterminate the Atreides? And she said, of course I did. Why do you think it happened?
Ah, yes. Yes, nice.
Awesome. Fuck yeah.
Of course I did. Why do you think it happened? That's so good. That's so cool. That's perfectly Bene Gesserit.
Yeah. I don't know. Irulan didn't have a ton to do in this.
Right.
Except for wear crazy outfits, chainmail and
funny
fucking
outfits.
Little knives and all that stuff. But we'd already seen those, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't crazy about Irulan. If we get a Messiah movie, and a, God, holy shit, I hope we do, then she'll have more interesting stuff to do in that.
I would be surprised if we didn't at this point. I feel like this is going to make a lot of money.
I know. I think so, too. But you have to think that...
Just because I like it.
But you also have to think that the studios do kind of know that Messiah is not the same thing.
Pleaser. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And this is the same studio that just, like, put a movie in the trash can that was fully done for a tax write-off.
What? What movie is that?
Warner Brothers. Actually, a few years ago, they had a movie called Batgirl, which I've heard was bad. Brendan Fraser was the bad guy. It was fully complete, And they just were like, this is never getting released. We're getting a TikTok. Earlier this year, a new Looney Tunes live-action hybrid movie called Coyote versus Acme was announced and is not happening. And like they are
what the fuck?
Yeah, I've heard it's like funny and
like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
Oh man,
who's in it? It's there's somebody like a comedian that's in it.
Kate Micucci.
It's not Kate Micucci. Oh, Will Forte is in it.
Oh, okay. I was not gonna guess Will Forte.
But just like. It sucks that the industry is really run by people that don't care about art. Like, they're just, like, canning the movie. They're doing it as a tax write-off.
You don't want to fucking... You don't want to see my hand where my hip be at about that. Because yeah. I just watched... Yeah. By the way, big day for me. New for me specifically. Because also, first episode of new fucking Walking Dead came out today. And good golly... But also, that is a fucking studio making bad artistic choices for the sake of money is a big theme in the history of that show.
Anyway, it's one of David Zaslav, who runs that, is like my least favorite guy who runs a studio. And Bob Iger exists. You know what I mean?
Bob Iger, fucking, he was out, and then he's back.
He got back in.
That's crazy. Back.
And so all the bad Disney movies, I think, are coming to an end, and so they're gonna be like good again or whatever. But he had to just be there while all the stuff that the previous dude greenlit came out. Right. So he's running against the wind. But anyway, this is Warner Brothers we're talking about. So, we don't know what's going to happen. But I think it's going to make a lot of money. And I'm not just saying that because I think it's good. But I think it's a weird fucking blockbuster. She's talking to an unborn baby. They're riding worms.
I think about...
It's funny. There's a lot of captions in this movie.
Yeah.
It's a weird blockbuster. What were you saying?
I thought about how... I wondered, I don't remember what made me think of this. There was a moment where I was thinking about, I wonder how much weirder Denis might have wanted to make it. There was something that was very like arrival-y or like something in it that I was like, ooh, I wonder if he wanted to make parts of this movie way weirder than they are, but like didn't for the sake of a wider audience, which
I'm thinking,
you know,
of the PG-13 rating. Did he want to make stuff more violent? You know, that scene in the part one where he kills Yue, and like he's about to do it, and then like it just happens off screen or whatever.
There's barely any blood in the first one. There's a little bit more.
There's
blood
more
in
killing
this one.
In this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, like, huh, I wonder if he had to like do stuff with PG-13 in mind. Probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
But whatever. The movie is what the movie is. I think it's great. So.
Now, okay, are we? We getting close to wrapping up, do you think?
Yeah, I got very little else to say. I'm kind of flabbergasted at this whole damn movie.
I have a question for you. And yeah, I'm just curious. I'm curious. It may be too soon for you to answer this question.
Go for it, man.
Did you like it better than part one?
I really don't know. There are some of my favorite moments in movies in part one. I just haven't seen this enough times to know. My initial gut is like, probably not, but also like, probably, it's like more happens in this one. I don't know. I really don't know, man. If I do, it's close either way.
On first watch, I feel like I like this decisively better than part one.
Oh, interesting.
Which it is interesting because like subject matter wise, most of my favorite stuff in the book happens in the first half.
Right.
But I just thought that, like, the themes at play and a lot of the...
That's a good point, yeah.
A lot
that
of the visual
stuff... religious
stuff
really carried that.
Yeah.
That's done really, really, really well.
I just thought, like, from a storytelling perspective, I thought that this did so much more with the source material than
it
the first
part. It is where
all
the meatier stuff shows up, I guess, so that makes sense.
You know, I think that's arguable. Like, I mean, themes-wise, maybe, but, like, there is a lot of, like, really great character nuance in the first half of the book that I think
the whole spy thing.
Yeah, and Leto as a character in general, and like
a doomed
Paul's
man.
Relationship with him, and and you know, not knowing whether he's going to be like him or not. It's like, I don't know. I think that this part did more justice. Again, this is not a complaint about part one, just like a holy shit about part two, that I think this part did even more justice to some of the really deep stuff that the book had going on.
I mean, damn, dude. I'm kind of blown away. Like, my hair's, like, fucking slicked back.
Oh, yeah, man, like, you should have seen this guy when the credits were rolling. I looked over, he had a gray streak.
Yeah, it's true. I looked at that girl from Cutthroat Kitchen, or Test Kitchen. Fuck!
That's all right, man. It's neither of those. It's Bon Appetit. And you could have just said, The Bride of Frankenstein or something.
Right. I was trying to make it relatable to the kids, you know.
Could have said Cruella de Vil.
Ooh, Emma Stone.
All right.
Yeah. You got anything else? Anything else you want to drop? What is to happen to Let's Get Way Into Dune? Last time we dropped a live commentary track, but we can't do that until it's out on fucking HBO.
Yeah, so we'll try to do that again when that happens. Otherwise, you'll finish reading God Emperor eventually.
I've made zero progress since our last episode.
That's okay. Zero. That was like last week, so that's okay. That Bene Gesserit show may or may not still be happening.
Hey, man, it's slated for this year still. I don't think it'll come out.
All right. Well, if it does, you'll hear from us.
If it comes out, it won't be this year. Or maybe it does. I don't think it'll be good. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I don't have insanely high hopes for that. But hey, we'll check it out.
Doesn't matter. I'll watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I guess we're waiting for Messiah.
Yeah. What do you think? Is it going to be called Dune Part 3 or is it Dune Messiah or what?
Oh, right. Your question that I didn't answer from the very beginning of the podcast.
Wow. It's full circle here on Dune. Let's Get Way Into Dune.
Circle, just like the mouth of the worm, which I have, by the way, had my hand in through the popcorn bucket for like 10 minutes now.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Keep that to yourself.
I think that they'll call it Dune Messiah. That's my lock. Maybe Dune Part 3 Messiah. No, that's so clunky. I think they'll call it Dune Messiah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe.
Because Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2 are Part 1 and Part 2 of the book Dune, you know?
Right, that makes sense. Yeah. Right, and then Dune Messiah happens. We've completed Dune. We're done. It's done.
Dune is done. Wash your hands, but don't use too much water. Turn the sink off while you're scrubbing in your soap, and then turn it back on to rinse. Because not everybody has as much water as you do.
That's good to keep that in mind.
Water conservation, I think, 2-3 years on, 4 books deep, countless movies, I think that we can all agree that the real message of Dune is that you should conserve water for future generations.
That's a good point. So, and that very esteemed and astute observation of you.
Thank you. I think on that note, why don't you send us off with a little bit of wordplay?
Silas, I got nothing for you. All I have to say, I mean, like, Dune Part 2 in theaters now. That's all I got to say. I ain't Fade a kidding around, all right?
Okay.
Hey, hello, sure. Quiz on how to rock and roll. Let's go. Okay, let's go. Well, you got... Dune forever. Dune forever, wow. Baby. Dune sweep.